I think we've got everybody that we're going to have here this evening. Commissioner Starks just let me know that he is ill this evening and won't be joining us. So other than Commissioner Starks, we have our full commission present. We also have representatives from the city that will help with the information this evening and present the staff reports on the items that we'll be reviewing. We'd like to thank members of the community and applicants that have joined us this evening. We always appreciate your participation in these proceedings. So our first item of business this evening is a motion to approve our agenda as published. Any discussion needed? If not, I'm ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I would move that we approve this evening's agenda as published.
Thank you, Commissioner Gedge. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye. Yes.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Our next item of business is to approve the minutes from our August 8th, 2023 Planning Commission meeting. Anything that needs to be discussed or noted on that? Nope, then I'm ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I move that we approve the minutes from the August 8th, 2023 Planning Commission as published.
Thank you, Commissioner Darby. I will second that. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Staff, do you have any business for us this evening?
Turn my mic on. I don't believe we do.
Okay.
Just what's coming up next.
So. All right. Okay, Planning Commission members, I'd like to start with giving the floor to Commissioner Bevins to report on the City Council meeting earlier this month.
This will be a quick one. We've heard about this one several times now. It's the Redwood Townhomes Project. It was approved, rezone and the development agreement. They did make humongous changes and steps in the right direction. So it's a much different project than when we first saw it. And if you want to look at the final site plan, it is on the website, but that's really the only thing of note from last week's meeting.
Okay, thank you. Any other business tonight, commissioners? Okay, then let's go straight into our administrative items for this evening. Item 1H1 is the conditional use permit for detached accessory garage, and Miguel has our staff report.
Hi, thank you. So this is a conditional use permit for a detached garage, a detached accessory garage with an accessory dwelling unit on the second floor. It's located on this property, which is in the Thaxton Acres subdivision and zoned R1.8. So the proposal is to construct a detached garage with an accessory dwelling unit on the second floor. The garage height is proposed to be at 25 feet high, which is a max allowed for accessory buildings. The existing height of the home is 22 feet, so it's going to be 3 feet taller than the existing home. And let's see here. So there on the left elevations, which I will put on the screen, we have windows proposed, which are going to be about 15 feet from the property line, and these windows are about 9 feet, 6 inches above grade. So that's something to note. And then the wall height on this side, well, the average wall height of this garage is going to be 16 feet, 8 inches. So city code allows the height of an accessory building to exceed that of the main building with the approval of the Planning Commission. And it also allows the average wall height to exceed 16 feet with your approval also. And it allows for windows or openings above 4 feet above grade to be approved if they're within 20 feet of a property line. So that's why this is coming as a conditional use permit. There's also a 10-foot irrigation easement in the property located in what's going to be the proposed garage and the house, but this garage is not going to be encroaching on that easement, which you can see on the screen. So with that, staff recommends approval of the conditional use permit for this accessory garage.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, do we have questions for staff at this time?
I'll jump in if no one else wants to come. So just for my own information, we heard a similar application at our previous meeting, and it was combined in, you know, the two items were combined into a singular motion. Were there any specific reasons why we have the first two items this evening separated out? That's how you guys published it or drafted them? I just want to make sure there's nothing kind of overlying why the last meeting we had both the ADU and the CUP combined into a singular motion, and then tonight we just have two separate.
So I think we combined it because the ADU is going to be within the detached garage, and the garage needs the CUP. So without it, the ADU can't be.
Okay. And this might be more for the next item of the ADU, the guest house, but I'll ask it now and just refresh our memory, is that if there is a detached building /ADU, that the primary residence has to be occupied by the property owner. Is that correct?
Correct.
And do we have any, I'm assuming that, sorry, Mr. Mullen is the property owner and the primary resident?
Right. So provided in the packet was a signed affidavit, and the affidavit states that the property owner has to reside on the property.
Okay, and so that might just be, and I don't know if it's on this application or the next item. If we need, I just want to get that confirmed with the applicant. And I probably should have asked that same question at our last meeting. That'd be similar, but just make sure probably moving forward with similar items like this, I think we'll see more of these, and just get that confirmation on the record. And that's all I have, Madam Chair.
Will you confirm my understanding that they are asking for two exceptions to our normal ordinances, and that is a height exception and then a square footage?
So three exceptions. So the first one is the height. So the proposed height is 25 feet, which exceeds the height of the existing residence by 3 feet. The second one is the average wall height of the garage exceeds the allowed height by 8 inches, I believe it was. And then the third one was the left elevation shows windows at about 9 feet in height. And this left elevation is within, I believe, 15 feet from the property line to the north. So in the code, it states that windows or openings exceeding 4 feet above grade within 20 feet of a property line have to have your approval.
Miguel, would you mind going back to the view of the floor plan?
Oh, sure.
So that I can see where those windows fall.
Is it the two in the great room and the bedroom, those four, or was it the ones where the stairs are?
So it's the one where you see garage level floor plan. It's that on the left side of that. It's not the ADU floor plan. It's the garage level floor plan.
So the garage has the windows that
right.
are looking out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they would be here. You can see the left elevation on the bottom right corner.
Okay.
So that would be the wall that's closest to the property line at 15 feet to the north.
Perfect. Thank you.
Does the same restriction exist for windows on primary residences?
I'm not sure about that, but...
So if you're the applicant, we'll give you an opportunity to speak in a minute. Greg, is there any chance you know that off the top of your head?
Oh, I thought you were looking over there. No, it's not the same requirement. The house can have windows on every level and facing
and
any
be
direction.
Within 15 feet.
Right. So, and be within... They could be within, whatever the setback is of the house. So it could be, if it's a 10-foot setback on one side, they can have windows looking out that side on all levels. I'm just going to look and see if I can find the section of the code that talks about the accessory buildings in that code.
But based on this drawing, those windows are tall, right? I would not be able to go walk up and look out of them without a stool or a...
Correct. They're, according to the site plan, above 9 feet from floor level.
So,
yeah.
Okay. Any other questions for staff?
I have a question. Maybe I missed it, but do we have the total square footage of these...
I should have mentioned that. So the garage square footage is proposed to be 2,108 square feet, which is less than the home. The home is at 2,820.
And that 2,108 includes the ADU?
So that's the footprint, so not the okay. ADU.
And I think the ADU part's 1,100 or something.
Yeah. I think I have a little bit of a clarification of that. I found where Miguel, I think we kind of missed it when we looked over the staff report, that that's not the case. It's where the floor area, the floor is actually more than 4 feet above grade, not the windows. So that would mean, you know, if they're on the second floor of the building, you can't have the windows. But if the floor is, you know, like on any house, if it's on ground level, you can have windows on all sides of it, regardless of where they're placed.
So there's no issue with those windows?
There's then. Really no issue with those windows.
Okay. Thank you.
So that, I think both Steve and I and Miguel, we've looked over that, and we think we missed it in the review. So okay. It just says openings, windows and doors that are visible from the property and shall not be located on an exterior wall when the floor height exceeds 4 feet.
Okay. All right, any other questions for staff at this time? Is Mr. Bowen present? Is that you? Would you like to add anything to the staff report? Would you state your name and where you reside for our records, and then you can
My name is John Bowen. I'm the applicant. I live at the address 11149 South 2865 West. It sounds like it's not an issue, but the windows, just so you know, they're just for ambient. Like, you can't look over and see my neighbors. It's just for ambient light. And in regards to the height of the building, where it sits on my lot, there is some grade that goes down. And so where it's 3 feet taller than the existing structure, it actually sits about level. You wouldn't notice it from the street. And it sits back. I mean, I have one of those oddball lots that's just a deep acre, you know, mm-hmm. kind of obsolete now. But, yeah, I mean, as far as the height, you wouldn't really catch any of it. And then as far as the, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead to the next item, but just as far as the square footage with the existing house, some of those houses on that street, you know, they're the big lots, but they kind of have small footprints. And so I'm just trying to get some additional value and make the ADU actually, you know, functional with a little bit more square footage. And I'm not asking for more than, you know, the 1,500 or something beyond that, but just enough to make this ADU functional.
Questions for the applicant while we have them up here?
I have one question. Can you go back to the site plan? So are you pouring like a concrete driveway between the fence and this detached garage?
So right now it's just, I've got, asphalt millings that go along there.
Okay.
I'll probably pour an apron out in front of it, so it won't have like asphalt millings, but the, you know, the, what you travel on right now and existing is asphalt millings.
Okay. So then maybe for staff, if he's going to pour something, a permanent driving surface, will that not require an encroachment permit? If he's putting a permanent sort of something on top of that.
I'm not on any encroaching easements.
He's not encroaching on city right away.
No, on the easement.
There's no easement I'm encroaching
across
on.
The easement, if he pours a driveway over that?
If it's a, even if there, I don't know if there is a easement, does it show an easement on
I
there?
I thought but it did. Even yeah, if there is,
there's a public utility easement.
Yeah, public utility easements. You can pour concrete or whatever okay. you need over the top of them. It's just structures are not allowed in them
okay.
without clearance.
Okay.
However, because it is allowed to put them over the top, if the owner of the easement, anybody who's in that easement, needs to come in and repair anything that's underneath it, they'll have to, it will be his responsibility to replace the concrete,
okay.
not the easement owners.
That was my only question.
Yep, and I mean, makes sense. I agree.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I'll jump in. I know Miguel confirmed that there was an affidavit in the report that you are the primary resident owner and maintaining there. Can you just confirm that for the record that
yes.
you'll be in the primary residence?
Yes, I am.
Great, thank you. That's all I had.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. At this time, we're going to open up this item to public comment. So if you've joined us this evening and would like to address the commission on this item, We would invite you to come to the podium. We ask that you state your name and where you reside for our records, and then you'll have 3 minutes to address the commission. We'll let those that have joined us in person go first, and then if there's anybody on our online format, we'll give them the same opportunity. We just ask that they turn on their camera and microphone to be able to do that. Is there anyone in the auditorium that came to speak with this item? Can we get our Zoom screen? Is there anybody that's joined us online that would like to speak to the commission on this item? We would just ask that you turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay. Once you got your camera on, Mr. Jackman, you may address the commission. Please again state your name and where you reside for our records. You're going to have to unmute yourself too. So.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Yeah, it's through Jackman. I live across the street at 11158 South 2865. And I really don't have a problem with this at all. I think it's great that he's building it. I don't have, you know, any problems. There are some issues that you're trying to figure out, which makes sense. And I think you should do that. My concern was with the letter that was sent out. The letter was sent out stating that it was a disattached garage, and that's what it left it as. And so I think it was the city who kind of fell down on not stating that it was more than that. And so I just wanted to note that there was a break in that process. And it could have been, I mean, you addressed it at the beginning, that it could be the fact that it's broken into two different items. And I have the same question. So why the city didn't state what was really being built. It just said it was a garage. So, but I do not have a problem with them building it. I think that's fine. So just a comment.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else online that would like to address the commission? I'm not seeing anyone else, so I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Can you, Miguel, explain what the restriction with the wall height is? Why is that a separate designator beyond just the total height of the building? What does that accomplish?
I'm not sure I understand the wall height.
Mm-hmm.
So it's part of the CUP, and along with the height of the building, it's part of the CUP. It's what's in excess here, so they both need to be approved as part of the CUP. So,
do you have any idea why it's in our code? There's often a reason for why we have things in our code, and that's what I'm not understanding, when a total building height, I think, accomplishes to some degree both. Is there a detriment I'm not perceiving?
For the proposed wall height, mm-hmm. We didn't find any detriments for all these the heights of the building and the wall height, so I'm not really sure what the question is in terms of.
I'm going to look at this guy because
I don't know if I can be clear either why there's the 16-foot limit. It probably has to do with when you have 16 feet of wall height, you're likely to have two floors. And if you have more than 16 feet, then obviously windows and things indoors are going to be taller. And then also you have to have a roof pitch on these buildings as well. So
right.
Once you have a go over 16 feet, you're maybe not be able to put the roof pitch on. The minimum required is a 312 roof pitch, I think,
for
accessory buildings. And then
3.5 doing them, to 12.
It'd still make it taller than the other structure, the main house in some lots, if it's a Rambler lot to start with. But otherwise, I mean, I'm not sure exactly if that's enough, because I don't remember exactly why that was in the code that way. It has something to do with the overall height at the peak. But okay. if it's all we're concerned about really is the peak of the roof, I don't know why that should just be the only thing that we're concerned about. But
okay,
and it also could be, you know, a big wall, because these if it's a 16 feet tall at its, you know, I don't have a flat roof, but a 16 foot tall wall you know, I don't know how close it would be. It can be, I guess, it, you know, it could be, what it'll be if it's at the peak, you know, you're set back. When you have a plain wall or something that close to a property line, it's probably going to be less there than it is on the regular residence as an automatic 10-foot setback on the side yard. Whereas this can be closer, and then if the wall was 20 feet tall, it would certainly be would be a much bigger, like a barricade, you know, would close off the backyard of the neighbor and so forth. So,
okay. Can you also comment on the noticing? Are we required to notice neighbors about an ADU application?
I can double check, but I don't believe so. So this notice was mainly for the conditional use permit, so the garage. So I don't believe I mentioned the ADU in it. I can double check, though.
I just wanted to confirm that that's not something we typically notice.
Yeah, I don't believe we have to notice ADUs, but definitely CUPs, conditional use permits, so that's why. I just missed out mentioning the ADU in the notice.
Okay. And we don't even see ADUs under certain circumstances, correct? As long as they... Okay. So the only reason we're seeing this particular ADU tonight is because it's asking for certain exceptions.
Right.
Okay. Any other questions, commissioners? Oh, I'm so sorry. I had one more. Can you confirm what the applicant shared with us about the grading of that lot and the proposed attached garage being approximately the same height as the primary residence once you account for the decrease in slope?
So as far as grading, I'm not too familiar with how that is reviewed, but I just know that from the site plans that I reviewed, it looked like the building was going to exceed the house height, so that's what we went based off of. The total height of the detached garage was just going to increase. I didn't really
compare to based on elevation. Okay, I was just curious.
When they were built.
So we have to have everything at the microphone. If we have a question, we'll bring you back up. Do you have access in your records to anything like that that could answer that question and confirm?
To the grading?
Mm-hmm.
So I can double check again, sorry, but I believe this was, let me just make sure I didn't have a grading plan.
Sometimes you guys have really cool websites and tools that you're like, yeah, I can look that up, no problem. So I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, it's okay. So sometimes when we receive site plans and stuff, we receive like a whole plan that shows grading. For this one, I did not receive that.
Okay.
That was included with this. So.
Okay.
And I was just making sure.
All right. Commissioners, any questions? Discussion? Okay, so I want to make it clear that through the information we've been presented this evening, we're not worried about the windows because they're on a main floor. That was mistakenly identified as being requested to make an exception. So what we're considering tonight is the wall height and the overall building height. This does exceed the primary building height by 3 feet. On a lot this big, though, with the arrangements that I'm seeing, that doesn't give me as much heartburn as it does when it's, you know, a third-acre lot. And so given that this is a nice big acre lot, I'm not seeing any issues with granting this particular CUP. If anybody feels differently, though, let's hear those concerns.
Maybe not concerns, but more comments.
Sure.
To add, it goes a long way when neighbors are noticed and then either support or don't oppose something like this. So appreciative of the feedback we received today. The comments I have is I wonder if it makes sense to do a review of our code for that 16-foot height. I'm imagining that more people are building just a little higher than 8-foot levels. They're probably getting into the 9-foot sometimes when they're building. So it might be.
I still think when you're exceeding the primary residence, the primary structure, it should be reviewed.
It doesn't change that. All I'm saying is that we should change, we should consider what might need to go before. So there's still the maximum height of the accessory dwelling unit, but the the wall height, it feels like the last few I've seen have been coming in at like between 16 and 17 or something like that. And listening to the conversation today, that it might have been for a different time and it might need to be updated based on current design preferences. And I know we've got a big backlog of things to look at. And then maybe the question on noticing, I would feel like that anything that has a public hearing should have a notice. And so if both of these items had individual public hearings, and I didn't print the main agenda, but if we listed it as two different ones, I wonder if there should always be a public notice sent out when there's a public hearing.
I feel like that's the point of having a public hearing. That's a really good point.
I know it's not exclusive to that, because people, you know, you can have notification of like a business that's forming up and there's no public hearing. But when there is a public hearing, I feel like there should be notice. But this is two for the same address, and so that's...
Sure.
But if it didn't get sent out with both topics and both are public hearings, that's an issue in my mind.
I tend to agree with that. Any other comments, discussion either way? So I do have a question, and it's probably more applicable to the next one, but I would like to ask it now. Is this property eligible for flag lot status? Is that something that they could potentially apply for in the future and turn this into a second residence?
That is a good question. I do not know off the top of my head. We would have to measure the frontage of the... I don't know how...
And then look at the density of the subdivision.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it is part of a subdivision, and it looks roughly like they're all the same size, the properties in that subdivision, so that makes it a little bit more complicated as well.
It appears that it's probably not eligible, because you have two ways to get a flaglot subdivision or get a flaglot on these lots. It's if one way is if the lot is twice the size of the average lot size in the subdivision. And if they're all similarly 1 acre, then none of them are twice the size of the average. The other way is to, if they actually can't meet that requirement, there's another path in the code that allows if the frontage is at least 125 feet wide, they could also go that route. And either way, the underlying zone has to, you can't put the subdivision over density, and you have to meet the minimum lot size on the site. Like, they would have to be, if this is an R1.8 zone, they'd have to have the minimum lot size of at least of a third of an acre for both lots that they would create. But because it doesn't have the 125 feet width or twice the size, it wouldn't be eligible.
Okay, thank you. All right. If there's no other discussion or questions, I think I'm ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion.
Please.
I move that we approve the conditional use permit, file number PLCUP 2023-00113, with no conditions based on the findings and conclusions listed in this report.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have any discussion on that motion?
Do we need to specifically exclude the windows since they are in the report as needing a conditional use?
I don't know. Staff, do you have a recommendation?
I guess since it wasn't listed in the motion, so you're just approving this, I guess, the conditional use permit for the detached accessory garage, and if it's not mentioned in the motion, what the conditions, and there's no conditions, and I don't know if it's necessary, but you can say, you could add that, I suppose. I don't think it would hurt to add that the...
I'm not sure it's necessary, but I think it just says as presented, and yeah, we're happy with how it's presented.
Okay.
Unless somebody disagrees.
I'm fine with that. No, I just have another ask for the way that the motion stated that we've seen in other, almost every other motion we've made. It's just also subject that South Jordan City code and ordinances are met, satisfied, followed, whatever that language might be. Not just this item, but I think for all three items we're going to hear tonight, I just don't see that as additional verbiage, language that added into the actual motion. I would like just to see that met. It's probably inferred, but I would just like that stated for future property owners of this property. And if the city ordinances change, that it's memorialized, especially where it's a conditional use permit.
Do you have a motion to amend a motion?
Before he does that, maybe I might comment on the language in there when it says findings. Because it says in there with no conditions based on the findings. I guess that's okay. Based on the findings and conclusions. And that means it doesn't have to be adhered to. I didn't want to put extra restrictions on the applicant.
Yeah.
In the future. So I think we're okay. As well.
So, I don't know if the motion fails for lack of second, then I can make a substitute motion.
Do we have a second? All right, the motion fails. I'm glad it did because you didn't ask the question that you always ask. You didn't ask about business activity and confirm for the record.
This is for city staff, and then we may want to reopen this to the applicant. As you say, you may have additional moments, but did we do a business license search of the current property? Is there any current active residential or businesses at this residence location?
No, I did not do any such search.
Okay.
Mr. Bowen, would you please come up to the podium and answer Mr. Gedge's question? What he's asking is there a business that is run at this address?
No, there's not. Currently.
And while we have you at the microphone, you may have an additional comment maybe you just want to add that might influence our...
Yeah, I had a comment just on the height. I don't know if you can get the site plan back up, but just so you can see, on the right side of that easement, you can see some rock retaining walls, so if that gives you any comfort that there's some grade there, there's a, you know, about a 3-foot rock wall that's right there that I'd actually have to regrade when I do this for the driveway to work going into the detached garage. And then I don't know if I'm opening up a can of worms too, but I just want to ask a question as far as this on, if you go back to the site plan, I was trying to do a 14-foot garage door on the RV side. If you can go to the that. On the RV, the taller garage, it says 12 feet. And I was trying to shrink things down to get to that 16-foot rule or ordinance or whatever it is. But I'd really like to put that up at 14 feet if that's possible. And I don't know if I'm asking something out of order, but on that RV side, if there's a way to bump that up 2 more feet. I'm not exceeding the 25 feet, but it would give me a more functional RV portion of that garage. That's a good
clarifying question. So, if you raise that, the actual wall there would become 18 feet.
Well, it's an average wall.
16 feet.
The way I understand it, it's an average wall height. Okay. So if you look at the front, some of those wall heights aren't 16. They're lower than that. So I believe it's an average. Okay. So on that north face, it would, you know, it would raise that up 2 more feet.
Okay. While you're up here, I'm going to make a statement. I wouldn't be comfortable voting on something where we haven't seen the final plans. So if the applicant wanted to present those plans, I would recommend that we table this item and he would need to reappear at a future meeting. Staff, that would make it so he does not have to file a separate application, right?
That's correct, but also raising it 2 feet raises the average height from 16 feet, 8 inches to, or whatever, to something higher than that, but it's probably... So that would be a good idea to have all that information ahead in front of you before you make that decision.
And if we were to table and reconsider basically an amended application on that, would we have to reopen the public hearing, renotice?
It's asking for a different exception. Yeah. I would probably lean towards it needs another public hearing. I think staff makes that call based on if it's like significantly different, right? So that I don't know that.
What do you think, attorney?
Attorney.
If you table the matter as it is, your public hearing has occurred here. And so you could consider it again later, but you can't have a second public hearing on the same.
What information is provided in a public hearing? Were they given any drawings or elevations or what specific exceptions were?
In the notice, there's not.
No, it's just that there's a detached.
It's just that it's a detached garage. I don't know. Usually it says there's a location map where it's going to be, where what lot it is and stuff like that.
Okay.
I believe that's what Greg said is probably the case. Look at how many times that the we talked about in the city council reviewed those towns. They had one public hearing. Oh, they did two? I guess the first one. But the second one, they didn't have one last night, did they?
They did. Hmm. But that, I think that was the exception to the rule.
But yeah.
So given what you just said with the information that's sent out with a public notice, I retract what I said earlier. I would be comfortable with tabling it and then reviewing an amended motion without another public hearing. It sounds like we've got the attorney, as we call him now, has given his approval. commissioners, thoughts?
Would the applicant be agreed?
Yes.
With this exception, would you be fine if we let you take it back, do the new drawings, and then work with the staff to have that just represented to us so we have it as part of the official record, and then there wouldn't be a hearing, it's just we would hear the differences. And
so I would just get an updated plan set that would reflect the new average wall height, and then you guys would make a decision based off that.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm okay with that.
You're going to have to come back and join us again.
That's all
We're
right.
We're so fun.
I have a question then.
It's probably the same as me.
Does that affect our ADU approval? Do we need to wait till after we approve this?
Well, we can approve it. Well, I would argue we could still hear to the ADU tonight. It's not going to change that square footage, I assume, but maybe it would.
No, it won't. It's just that RV portion would go up 2 feet.
Okay.
So no square footage would change, just height. Go ahead, Greg.
You may want to, if you decide to approve the ADU, you may want to put in that motion, so it's subject to him getting approval of the garage, because if you can't build the garage, he's not going to build the ADU either. So.
Is there a reason that you can give us that we should hear the ADU tonight or table that as well? What do you recommend? Or Miguel?
I'd say you could do either one, but because he's going to have to come back anyway. If you go that way, or if you want to do it now, put that caveat in there that if as long as the garage gets approved in the future.
Yeah. So, and I would like just
the whole building
add that extra language on the next item anyway, so it's there for future owners that they, you know, subject to the CUP. So it's probably good to have that there anyway in that motion.
Okay. I have a question. If we table the ADU because we did not hold the public hearing, would that be noticed again?
The ADU specifically?
Yeah, so if we table H2, would that trigger a notice because we didn't have a public hearing on it, we just tabled it?
I'm not sure.
We would probably move since the ADU does not require the public hearing, we'd probably move it to another spot on the agenda and have it as a non-public hearing item, because I think we just mislocated it, because it doesn't require a public hearing on the ADU.
Okay. So.
Mr. Bowen, what are your thoughts? Would you like us to table this?
So if I understand this correctly, if we table and I get him an updated plan set that reflects that garage change, and then what is the process beyond that? Do we do another planning commission meeting? Just same as this?
Every 2 weeks, second and fourth Tuesdays. So it would slow down your process a little, but you could potentially...
Let's just leave it as is with the 12-foot.
So you would like us to vote on what's presented tonight?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That solves...
Excuse me, before... Can I ask Mr. Bowen a quick question?
Sure.
It's just more of an item of curiosity almost, but the plans have Ivory Homes... stamped on them. Are they connected to this application?
So I work for Ivory Homes.
Okay.
And they're the contractor I'll use to build this unit.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion, please.
Please.
I'm going to try to phrase this so you don't have to. So based on this evening's discussion and based on the staff report presented this evening, I move that we approve the conditional use permit file number PLCUP 20230013 with no conditions. However, subject that all South Jordan City code and ordinances are met.
And we're good with that motion because the CUP covers the exceptions to the ordinances and code. Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? I can second that motion. Ms. Valdez?
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Darby?
Yes.
And Commissioner Barron?
Aye.
Okay. This item is approved with a 5-0 vote. I won't thank you yet for participating this evening since you're our next applicant as well. Our next item of business is a detached accessory dwelling unit, ADU guest house at the same address that was just discussed. And Miguel again has our staff report.
Before we start that, can I ask a question? Because this doesn't require a public hearing, would we be smart to amend the agenda and move it? Or are we going to just do a public hearing on it?
This is news to me that they don't require public hearings.
Yeah, I thought they did.
Say it again. I'm not sure I understand your question.
So Greg said this doesn't actually require a public hearing, so if we had tabled this and it came back, it would be somewhere else. So where it's sitting under administrative public hearings, if it doesn't require a public hearing, should we be amending the agenda and moving it somewhere else and not holding a public hearing on it?
However, just to follow up
I think maybe it kind of depends. We have to ask Miguel if you actually set out the notice that in a notice for a public hearing for this item.
The notice was only for the detached garage, not the ADU.
And it wasn't mentioned at all in there that it would have an ADU in it or anything, right?
Right.
However, I'll just say on the Utah Public Notice website from 10 days ago, all three items that we're hearing this evening were published. Does that constitute notice that there would be a public hearing if it's listed on the Utah Public Notice website?
That's true. It was on there.
I would rather just hold a public hearing.
But the public notice, it was given public notice because we're required to give every item, no matter what is on the agenda, as public notice. But it wasn't. But then again, in that notice, I believe it also says a public hearing will be held. So that you're right.
Yeah, I believe that a public hearing is required. As I look at the statute, it says that that under these circumstances, it requires review and approval by the Planning Commission. And implicit in that is that the Planning Commission will take testimony or comment on the approval.
Let's just have a public hearing. Seems easy. All right, Miguel, floor is yours.
All right, apologies on the public notice and public hearing. This is still something that I'm becoming more familiar with. So the reason this ADU / guest house is coming before you is because it exceeds the 35% allowed for the floor area of the main house. So the main house is 2,000. The living area of the main house is 2,820 square feet. 35% of that is 987 square feet. This proposed ADU will be 1,135 square feet, so exceeding the allowed percentage by 150 square feet. And that's basically it for the ADU.
It appears to be showing that they're providing required parking. Is off-street parking still required for ADUs? I thought we'd change that per state.
So one spot is required that's off-street. And so it looks like here they're proposing one in their garage, or they're also the applicant is proposing one and behind their house, which I believe was a concrete area. But at least one is it's shown to be provided in the proposed garage. So.
Okay. Questions for staff, please.
So I know we're considering an ADU. Just want to make sure that does an AD, a short-term rental, so Airbnb, would it, that qualify as a short-term rental, or would this have to be more, longer than a, you know, a rental, or a, basically like a hotel motel slash use? I mean, what defines a short-term or a, you know, accessory dwelling? Can it be used for a very short-term rental?
So in the code specifically, it states that ADUs cannot be used as short-term rentals, and it defines short-term rental, I believe, as any time period less than 30 consecutive days.
Thank you. I just wanted that memorialized in the record. That's all I have.
Questions down here? Okay. Mr. Bowen, do you have anything you'd like to add to the staff report on this particular item? Come all the way to the microphone so it records.
I mentioned it before. The existing house and a lot of the houses on that street have a smaller footprint. And, you know, eventually I might like to do an add-on on my existing house, which would probably negate this anyways. But it's just to make that ADU functional. I needed to get the extra square footage. I'm kind of limited with my existing house. So that's all.
Madam Chair, just technicality, because it's a new item. Can we just get Mr. Bowen state his name and address for the record, just so we follow the rules?
John Bowen, and I live at 11149 South 2865 West. And as far as if you're concerned, it's I have an elderly mother that'll be occupying this.
No, I was just thinking for future, if you were to sell it and a new owner comes in, so I just wanted it memorialized on the notes.
Okay, at this time we're going to open up this item to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to address the commission, we invite you to come to the podium now if you're in auditorium. Is there anybody in our auditorium that would like to address the commission on this item? Okay, we're going to go back to our online format. If you would like to address the commission on this item, we would just ask that you turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody online that's wanting to address the commission on this item, so I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, any further thoughts or questions? This is, again, one of those where the size of the property, the age of, well, the size of the primary residence, et cetera, makes me amenable to granting the small increase in extra square footage that's being requested. It still is under the 1,500 maximum limit that we have on ADUs. I feel like the size of the property, this isn't as overwhelming as it would be on smaller properties. And so I'm inclined to approve. Any other thoughts? Okay, then I'm ready for a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission approve the application for an accessory dwelling unit, file number PLALU 20230012, which seeks approval of a guest house that exceeds 35% of the living area of the main building.
Do we need to be specific about that exceeds? Is it binding what we've been presented tonight is what will be built? The way it's worded isn't very clear that we're only approving something 150 square feet beyond that limit.
So I think I understand what you're saying. So I think what's binding is what's mentioned in the staff report, that it'll be that size that it's indicated in the staff report. But I could be wrong.
Nobody else has.
I think maybe you could, if you want to reword that, instead of which seeks approval of the guest house, it's 35%, which seeks approval of a guest house that is 1,137 square feet, which exceeds 35%. So then you have the exact number then, I guess. If you wanted to.
I will amend my
motion. Before you do, I have a couple amendments I would like to make. Have you make as well.
Really?
Yeah, well, one is just...
Why don't you just make an amended motion?
Let's do that. Add mine in, thanks.
Well, I didn't know if I wrote down the total square footage. So, okay. Let it die for lack of second?
Sure.
Okay. Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion, please.
Barring that we had no second, the motion fails.
Okay.
Please.
All right. Based on this evening's discussion and staff report, I move that the Planning Commission approve the application for an accessory dwelling unit, file number PLALU 20230120, which seeks approval of a guest house of 1137 square footage, not to that it does exceed the 35% of the current living area of the main building, subject to an active conditional use permit that has been approved by the city, and also subject that all South Jordan City code and ordinances are met.
Okay, we have a motion. Are we happy with the motion, all the conditions? Okay, I'll second that motion. Ms. Valdez?
Commissioner Getch?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollist?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Bevins?
Aye.
And Commissioner Darby? Yes.
Okay, this item passes 5-0. Mr. Bowen, thank you for your participation tonight. It helps us when the applicant is present. And Mr. Jackman, we also appreciate your participation as a neighbor to this property. All right, our last item this evening is item H3, a conditional use permit for a restaurant use in the commercial community CC zone. And Andrew has our staff report.
Thank you, commissioners. We are going just outside across the street at 10468 South Redwood Road. We have a current empty space next to Guitars and More. The building's about 2,500 or so square feet. The smaller unit is where Boba Memory would like to locate, and they'll do boba drinks, tea, and smoothies. So they are a restaurant by definition, and in the CC zone still requires a conditional use, which is why they're here before you tonight. A restaurant requires one per 100 floor space parking stalls, so about 9 overall. There is sufficient parking on site, and it isn't a concern for staff for them to locate currently with this property. I have visited that several times during the day, and usually the spaces between the building they're locating in and Astro Burger are unoccupied, or there might be one or two, so parking is sufficient for those that remain on site and that come and go for that unit. This is the first restaurant use, which is why they need to establish the CUP for them, and any future restaurant uses that come down the line will not have to come back before you with the approval of this CUP. They do have their sign permit, tenant improvement building permit, and their business license applications in, and their pending approval subject to the outcome of tonight's decision. If you approve it, we will be able to go through those and approve those applications, which are all, for the most part, with staff review, meeting city code requirements. So with that, staff is recommending approval of the CUP.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, questions for staff?
Yes, sorry, you guys are going to be sick of me this evening. Okay, just one, I guess, question is, why would we have a restaurant use as a conditional, not a permitted use in this area? Can you just expound on that?
We're baffled. It happened in 2016 when we changed our code. Instead of having use all the uses listed by zone, we had a uses section, a whole use section, and then we listed all the uses, and then on the table checked off which ones were going to be permitted, which were going to be conditional, and which were left blank, means they couldn't do it. And somehow the person who came up with that code put the CC in the CC zone as a conditional use for restaurants.
You're not going to name that person?
Well, he doesn't work here anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, then you should. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. As you can remember, in recent past, we've had the man who owned the Rice King, and you've got same thing. He moved, when he originally located by the Walmart property, it was back before the code didn't require a conditional use. But when he moved to his new location, he was surprised to find out the same zone that he had to get the CUP. So we're trying to get this one changed. It is on the list of modifications. That just takes a while to get them forward, I guess. David Mann and Steve Schaefer, I'm blaming them because they're the ones that are working on these. So.
That was going to be my next recommendation to City Council, you know, just to get that cleaned up. If there is a, you know, this is two now, we've seen less than a year. So just on that. My second just question on this is, because it is a conditional use, there are several similar businesses within a quarter mile distance of this location. I know some cities have ordinances like you can't have multiple pawn shops within or gun dealers within a certain distance. Are there any concerns by having a similar establishment? I know capitalism, it's fine, but any concerns to the existing businesses by approving a restaurant use, or the Astro Burger that's literally within sharing a parking lot, a restaurant use within the proximity of this application?
I don't think we'd have any concerns as staff or the city wouldn't have any concerns. It's a business. It's basically a retail business, and it doesn't have any detrimental effects. I think the Astro Burger, I believe, actually owns this building, and they don't seem to care either.
But for the other beverage businesses within a quarter mile, they're outside of the noticing, so unless they were to drive by, they wouldn't, or go to the public notice website, they wouldn't know that this competitor is going into their...
And because it's a conditional use permit, even if they were to complain, that's the detrimental effect. It's it's not having competition. I guess isn't a detrimental effect. So,
okay, and then just my last question, and I know Jeremy's not here for probably public safety, but this is within walking distance of Bingham High School, and they would have to cross Southbourne Parkway to access this. I guess any concerns with students, with the crossing signals to being able to access this location. Same thing with probably the existing, probably not because of the Astro Burger's already there, but are we increasing pedestrian traffic in this area? Are there concerns with several of us having?
He's not making this up. I was at Cafe Rio yesterday, and I think all of Bingham High School was too.
Yeah, so as several of us have students who attend that school, I'm just wondering if there are any public safety concerns with this additional location servicing that, with foot traffic or vehicular traffic, I guess, for that matter as well. Points of ingress and egress off of Redwood Road, I'm assuming they can handle the extra loads, but it could stack because it's right there at the intersection of Redwood and Southbourne Parkway. So I'm assuming we're fine, but that would just be a concern that I would have. And so I'll leave it at that.
I like that it has two to that parking lot. So,
yeah.
Okay. Is the applicant present? Would you like to add anything to the staff report? You don't have to. Okay, all right. Then we're going to open up this item to a public hearing. If you've joined us this evening and would like to address the commission on this item, we would ask that you come to the podium, state your name and where you reside for our records, and we'll give you 3 minutes. Is there anybody in the auditorium that would like to address the commission? Okay, I'm going to turn to our online format. Mr. Jarman or Ms. Bowne, any comments you'd like to make? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, Andrew, thank you for the staff report and having so many of our questions already answered as far as the parking spaces required, not having a drive-through. Drive-throughs always raise our concern level. Having the operating hours and the delivery, that's all great information, so thank you for including that. And based on that, commissioners, I'm not seeing any concerns. This seems like the appropriate zone for this kind of an application.
But and I'll just comment, I appreciate them not putting up a sign before the came to us this evening. So that's a slam on a previous application, but thank you. And I have no concerns either.
Commissioner Campbell? No? You've been really quiet tonight.
I have no concerns. And having been in there, there's a lot of egresses and ingresses for
lots of options.
So I think we're okay traffic-wise. Thank you for bringing that up.
Commissioner Darby? Ms. Bevins? Okay. I think I'm ready for a motion then. We have a motion.
Well, I didn't want to jeopardize the floor, but if there's no objection, I'd like to make a motion, please. Madam Chair, based on the staff report and the discussion this evening, I move that we, the Planning Commission, approve conditional use permit file number PLCUP 20230138 with no conditions based on the findings. Sorry, I'm going to leave that out. For the property located at 10468 South Redwood Road, subject that all South Jordan City code and ordinances are met. I'm going to be consistent with that.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have any discussion on that motion? All right, I'll second that. Ms. Valdez?
Commissioner Getch?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Darby?
Yes.
And Commissioner Bevins?
Aye.
Okay. This item passes 5-0. Thank you for joining us this evening. In case we had questions or concerns, we appreciate your participation and wish you the best of luck with your new restaurant. Thank you for choosing South Jordan. All right. That, I believe, ends our official business for the evening. Staff, Greg, you know my question?
I do know your question, and I had it pulled up, and it's, yes, there are two items okay. already scheduled for that meeting, which was September 12th, I believe.
So. Commissioners, do we want to start talking about training?
Yeah, that's what I was
if it's a light schedule? I'm looking at the 12th.
I saw my book list today and thinking, hey, you know, we haven't visited our book that Mr. Simonson got us. So,
Mr. Simonson, could you be ready in 2 weeks? Would you like further feedback from us, or was our previous list sufficient? Or are you seeing an incredible gap in our knowledge on certain items?
I think I'm seeing our...
The gap, yeah.
I'm seeing our planning commission become more and more sophisticated.
You say that, but that Cody Wyoming story has me running scared. I'm not going to lie.
I heard some great questions asked tonight.
Are we able to make a motion to waive the fourth hour of training?
Whoa. <I'd like> to, now you're pushing boundaries.
Okay, I'm trying.
I'd like the chance to, particularly if I'm going to do it, and I'm not sure that I would be the one doing it, I'd like a chance to review my personal calendar because I may be out of town that week. So
okay.
Let me check that and get back to you.
So let's hold off then setting that. But let us know in the next couple of meetings that we have. We'll try to pair up a light session with a training.
You should have an email from me by tomorrow.
Okay. So if Mr. Simonson's available, we'll do it. And if not, then we'll... look for a different date.
Yeah, I may talk to Steve Schaefermeyer. He may have some ideas on training and so forth too. So we'll get back with you on that.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, any business? Go ahead.
No business, but I would just like to apologize for my 7-year-old repeatedly FaceTiming me. Uh-huh. He probably wanted a video game, so sorry about that. I will make sure the volume is all the way down next week.
I have a 7-year-old too, and she literally does the same thing.
It makes me nuts.
All right. Anything else? Okay. Then I'm going to move that we adjourn.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.